So I really am glad we were all together. I want to see if you guys have any final kind of comments about this. If you're not going to be here tomorrow, you might want to ask your comments first. And then for everybody else, we'll do this whole thing again tomorrow for practice meetings. So even if you were here today, we're still going to do practice meetings with everybody. All right. Yeah, Jean.
Thank you. It's always a privilege to be in setting with you.
Thank you.
Today I learned something about Vedana. I have this, what I would describe as a whirlpool of health issues. Sometimes I try to cling on to some branch or something firm, and then I circle around and I crash into the rocks and I say, why bother? But I realize that every time I've reacted in the past to a change in diagnosis, prognosis, condition, that those were just thoughts. And if I didn't assign pleasant or unpleasant to them, they're just thoughts, and that I could release it and find some freedom in it. So that to me is priceless.
It is. And think of it like this. You may not, one of the reasons why I think the Buddha said that the first noble truth that we're spending all this time with this year is dukkha, is because you may not notice you're in the whirlpool until you notice your reactivity. So it may not be something where you can say, you can catch it before you're in the whirlpool, but you're like spinning and then all of a sudden you can be like, oh, I know where I'm at. I'm in the Vedana of this. And then you can step back out and say, you're just, this is just unpleasant. It is just unpleasant. It's not, what that means is it doesn't mean anything other than that, because we can be with unpleasant just like we can be with pleasant, just like we can be with neither. So it's just unpleasant. And that can help you step out of it. It's not necessarily the truth, whatever those thoughts are, because I think the thoughts are just making up catastrophic ideas.
I'm still in the whirlpool.
Yeah.
But my attitude has changed.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I think, that is what the Buddha was pointing to as freedom. You can't change the fact that we are going to get scared if we have all these crazy diagnoses. You can't change that. But how you relate to that, your attitude around it, when that begins to shift, then you can be with whatever is happening.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I wanted to thank you for just the little shift in the wording, shifting pleasant and unpleasant to pleasing and displeasing, really emphasizes that it's not the quality of the thing, but the quality of our response to it, that this is our perception, what we make up, and make just making that little shift is making a huge difference in my thinking about Vedana. Thank you very
That's
much.
That's right. You're welcome. It is. I realize that we use the same words over and over and over, but unless you have a relationship with those words, it's just words. And so in the suttas, he uses different words. Sometimes he'll say pleasing and unpleasing, and sometimes he'll say pleasant, unpleasant, and sometimes he'll say liking. You know, not liking. So, yeah.
I'm working on this Vedana thing, and I'm thinking it seems like it's my opinion. It's like my opinion of what's happening, my opinion of, you know, it's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with what's happening in the moment. It's my opinion of it. Is that accurate?
It is.
Kind of?
It is accurate in that an opinion is just a random thing, right? And Vedana is a random thing in that way. But it's not just, opinions are thoughts only. Vedana is both a thought and a felt sense experience.
Okay.
So yes, it is a random tag for me to think artichokes are bad. I don't even eat them because I don't like the word. So that's an opinion. It seems like a very strange word, artichoke. Yeah. So my mind says, that is not good. And so, but I have a visceral feeling because of that opinion that makes the body tense up at the idea of something being unpleasant. It makes the, it is the symbiotic relationship between the body and mind. So the mind says, that's bad. I tense up at the thought of eating it. And that tensing up makes me think the artichoke really is bad. But it's not. It is just an opinion. And so trying to taste it is something I've tried with many things, to taste something I think is bad. Not so good with the artichoke. I couldn't do it. But it is hard. Once your mind says something is unpleasant, try it when you go home tonight. If you, like I don't like tea without sugar and cream, and I try to drink it without the sugar. God awful. But if somebody likes tea without sugar, if I put sugar in it, like my sister, when I put sugar in the tea, she thinks that is God awful, like syrup. But if you try to then drink it, you'll see what this Vedana, the power this Vedana has over us. Because it is almost impossible to eat something you don't like, to do something you don't like. And it's likewise, if you like something, you take a taste, it's the perfect cup of tea, the whatever sugar balance, you've left the tea bag in there just the right amount of time, and now say, I'm throwing it in the sink. You can't do it. You got to take a few more sips, because somehow if I like it, I got to have it. I can't just let it go. And this is how you can begin to see the impact Vedana has on us. It's not a simple thing. It's just saying, oh, that's my opinion. It is an opinion, but it has a visceral connection. So if the mind says that's bad, the body will respond as if it is. And then we feel as though I'm making myself do something bad, or I'm making myself get rid of something I really should have. And it's very hard to do. That's why it's hard to pay attention to something like the breath, because it seems like it's boring. Why would I look at this? And making yourself stay with it feels like a chore. You see? So yes, you stay where you're at with this opinion, but then watch what it does when you try to go against that opinion. Not so easy. Yeah.
Let's see if I can word this. The first foundation feels like my practice is pretty secure, because I think I'm going towards what's real, like the present moment. through the senses or through a sense of embodiment. But I'm feeling like my practice gets really insecure when I'm doing Vedana, because you asked us to try to steady our attention on the feeling tone, which is invented as like the interpretation rather than the territory. So I am imagining maybe as we go through the other foundations that that insecurity might increase as I'm focusing on things that are less tangible and more self-created. And so is there, I mean, do I just keep going back to the first foundation to provide some stability, or do I try to just be okay with feeling more and more or less and less stable in my practice?
It actually gets more and more stable if you stay with it. It's the persistence. I think the reason why you're with this experience now is because you have the persistence of staying with the first foundation, because that's always what we start with, is the first foundation. And so we all as practitioners have a stability with it, but it wasn't always stable to be with the breath. It didn't necessarily make any sense. It didn't make any sense just listening to hearing. So it's not always stable like that. But you can, we are moving into more and more and more subtlety. So that's what you're noticing. We're moving into subtlety. So the way to be with Vedana is to do it as a like a back door. Notice that you like something and then see if you can sense into the feeling tone of liking. See if you can sense into the feeling tone, the bodily felt sense of something being pleasant or something being pleasing. That way you can begin to feel the Vedana. The part that the Vedana is a mental tag that's just given to things, that's a wisdom that you begin to understand. So if you try to start from that wisdom, then you might not be able to get to it, because it's going to feel like I'm trying to feel something that doesn't exist or that's not true. But instead, go from, oh, that's pretty. Wait a minute. What? Okay, if that's pretty, what does that feel like in the body? And then see if you can feel the Vedana of liking or the pleasing of that. And then you can begin to feel what the Vedana is, because it does have a visceral felt sense.
Okay. That makes sense. Thank you.
I remember, is this one?
I don't think so. It is?
Oh. It is. It is. I need to do this, I guess. I remember being on a retreat and trying to, I don't know if I was trying, but I was, whatever. I was attentive to the food. And at one meal, I was eating something. It could be as simple, I don't remember what it was. But I was eating something like, let's say, oatmeal. And before that moment, I would say I liked oatmeal. I found it pleasing. But then I started to focus on it. And I go, wait a minute. This is not as good as I thought. I mean, it's more neutral than pleasant. And I think I was beginning to think a lot of the food I like, not everything, is more neutral than pleasant. And I eat it because it's a habit or something. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It is actually a lot of almost everything is neutral.
Yeah.
And we have all of this pleasant, unpleasant based on what we think things are, whatever that tag is that happens in the mind. And so a lot of neutrality happens on retreat.
So the bottom line is, as long as it's not unpleasant, I can eat it.
You can.
Or do almost anything.
You can eat unpleasant also.
I have.
It's just harder. It's just harder. Because there's a kind of a force field that says you shouldn't eat it. You will die if you eat it. But you, what you're pointing to is something that happens with Vedana.
That's what I'm trying to uh-huh. understand.
You're pointing to something that happens to Vedana. The Vedana, when it's in the body, we're impulsive with our reactivity. So we react to pleasant by trying to hold on to it. And we react to unpleasantness by trying to get rid of it or not avoiding it. And neutral, we ignore it. We don't think it's important. So if on retreat we see this a lot, this is what you begin to see, how you can begin to see that the Vedana is not in the object, is because if you don't grab on the things that you like and you just steady yourself and just taste, then you begin to realize the neutrality of taste.
That was what was happening to me.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You start noticing.
I started to feel it.
You start noticing the neutrality of every experience. So even a painful sensation in your knee, if you call it pain, it's the mind says this is unpleasant. I can't have this, and it doesn't want it, and it tries to make you do something to get rid of it. And it will pester you until you get rid of it. You can't. I mean, knee pain is inherent in sitting still a long time. So you begin to settle with it. And, you know, you may move your leg a little bit, but you pretty much settle with this as sensation. You go from calling it pain to pressure, tingling, you know, achy, you kind of settle with it. Let's just see if this is so bad. This is unpleasant. And then eventually the mind will treat that knee pain as just sensation, neutral, and take the whole idea that it's unpleasant out of it. Not because it's not a real sensation, but because if you don't push away and get aversion around it, then the mind recalibrates itself and calls that neutral and then decides it's not a threat. And so people can have experiences. It's usually emotional pain that it does this with. So emotional pain, we'll talk about it tomorrow, but we carry it in various places in the body. But really, it's emotional pain. And so as soon as the mind, as soon as we stop reacting to it, the body can actually release that emotional pain, and then it will settle down, which is different than physical pain, very different. But that kind of seeing you can't do until you stop reacting to the mind's habitual tags that it gives things. And that's what you were doing. You were letting go of the tag, I like oatmeal, because oatmeal is good. And then all of a sudden you're tasting it. It's like, I mean, when you've had it every morning for like 10 days, all of a sudden it's like, is this really good? Wait a minute. And it becomes neutral. And still, you can just eat it. If it were, it can turn unpleasant. The mind will question and say, oh, maybe it's unpleasant. And it'll call it unpleasant, and you can eat it. It's harder when something is unpleasant unless you don't get caught in the unpleasantness of it. And then you just eat it. And then eventually, it'll just land on it's neutral. That's it. You see?
Well, I think, you just talked about the things I was going to ask about. And I guess the next step that I'm curious about is, so this is kind of the way of not assigning a value to things, right? Or to actually experiencing things. We can describe them. We can use descriptive words. So I was an English major, so that makes a lot of sense. You know, like people can relate a lot more to descriptive words than they can, oh, I like this or I don't like that, right?
That's right.
So we're being with the world the way it is.
Yeah, you are.
And this is where it starts getting tricky, because we have to be with unpleasant. Mm-hmm. And some unpleasantness we can adjust, right? I can put in sound reducing, noise reducing earplugs to tone the noise down at an airport. And I can walk through just fine right after a retreat. I don't have to freak out. But putting in the earplugs, walking through an airport so I can just be in the space, that's one thing. But some of what's happening in the world requires that we get more involved.
Yes.
So we have to figure out, how do I get involved without just tumbling into the fighting and aversion that the Buddha was pointing out last time, right?
Yeah.
And that takes a little bit more skill. Like you're going to tumble into it and you're going to get pissed. You're going to get upset. I remember after the election, I called a friend of mine. We were talking and I got on the phone and I was just telling her about this election and blah, 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 and what I don't like and this and that. And what are we going to do? And blah, blah, blah. And then at some point she goes, Tori, I have to stop you for a moment. She said, we found out that my husband got diagnosed with a terminal cancer. And it's really bad. I really don't care. I couldn't even imagine that somebody would have an experience in their life that was more important than the election that just happened. But to her, she's like, I don't care who's president, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't care. I'm in a whole another world. And so in some respects, I'm saying that because we all have to find where we can sort of be in the world and at the same time not let the world completely upend our stability. That's the difficult part. So we have to practice getting to know Vedana, so we know when we're reacting, there's some kind of Vedana pushing up against us, that we can begin to figure out, how do I tone down that overreaction and still do what I need to do?
Got it.
You see what I'm saying?
So that means we're not passive toward it, but we're understanding it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes,
and
that's what it is.
We're choosing what we're doing with it. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. Thank you.
Which is very different than just being stuck in overreaction.
Yeah.
And just pushing ourselves, pushing ourselves, pushing ourselves. It will swallow us up. Anybody online have something? I want to make sure I don't skip over you so you don't feel like you're not part of the crew, because you are. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm realizing that I'm not sure. Things are either pleasing or not pleasing much more often than they're neutral. And I'm getting confused about, how do you know when something's neutral?
Ah, you are getting to a much beautiful place that you don't realize. Things are more neutral than they are pleasing or unpleasing. They are mostly neutral. life is very neutral. But our minds only care about what we like and what we don't like. So it ignores everything. And it only focuses or points you towards things that are pleasing. And it forces you to get rid of anything that's unpleasing, you know, that's unpleasant. But the truth is, it's all very much, it's all very neutral. The world is very neutral. And so practicing trying to find your way to neutral, it just takes time. It takes time and practice. And a lot of it comes from not getting overwhelmed by what you like and not getting overwhelmed by what you don't like. The unpleasant and the pleasant, you begin to steady yourself with that. And we're going to talk a little bit more about it. You'll see it when we get to mind and emotion. But you steady yourself. And then you'll be able to see more neutrality. And then as you see more neutrality, what do you think is going to happen to your nervous system? It's going to settle down. And it doesn't mean you don't deal with things, but you're going to deal with life from a much more settled place. Okay?
I'm more neutral than I think.
Hmm? I think I have more neutrality than my brain actually recognizes.
Oh, yeah. I can assure you of that.